Okay, let's continue.
Perfecting your notes over time.
Yeah, okay, let's continue now. We're on the Hosafos page, Tuf Pei Gimel. Four lines from the top. So let's just recap just a moment what we were doing. We're saying in the year 5,500 of the year of our Lord, which correlates to 1740, that's the morning of Erev Shabbos. In the morning of Erev Shabbos, you have to prepare for Shabbos. And Shabbos is when we're going to eat from the Levioson, all the mystical understandings and revealed understandings of Hashem we will enjoy. And that is all going to be, was beginning to be revealed with the Baal Shem. And then we said, he mentions that and earlier generations weren't able, whatever they revealed was just a little taste, mamish nothing. And people were much bigger who could take it in. So the Chiddush of the Baal Shem is now that it's more for everybody and it's more than just a little taste. And he says that was the Arizal in 1573, which was, now it's interesting, even looked it up. Ugh, I looked it up yesterday and I totally, the Arizal, let me look it up again for 1 second. The Arizal died right around that time and it was right at the end. He was Megala, lots of stuff. Just give me 1 second. I looked it up. 1 minute. Okay, he passed away July 25th, 1572. Okay, so a little bit off on the numbers here. He was born in Yerushalayim, but he also died, I think, there. Anyway, so 1572, so close enough. And that's two-thirds into the night, where the Gemara says that at the third watch, what does it say? The child nurses from the mother and the wife speaks to the husband. So that's when he came in. And that, yes. And then we spoke about the four types of sleep, if you recall. And we had, after the destruction of the first base of Migdash, it's the first type of sleep where you're slumbering. And then the second level where they were totally asleep. And now the third level, when the Baal Shem Tov came, whereas where we were unconscious. And if a person's unconscious, what do you have to do to wake them up? You have to call his name, right? You try certain medicines to wake them up, and you call their name. So that was the third thing. And he gave us the name of Yisrael. And that was to kind of wake us up out of our unconscious reality, which, see, this all ties into the very first session we had with this, of those notes, where you found that the Jewish people, they were mamish, felt like they were unconscious. They were numb to their Yiddishkeit from the suffering and physical and spiritual. So that all fits in very nicely. Now, we're now on Ve'acher Kach, where now you would have thought that things would get better because the Baal Shem Tov is waking up a world that was unconscious. We'd wake up. That's what you would have thought. However, Ve'acher Kach, and afterwards, Bizman Hazeh, nowadays. So it's not clear exactly who the writer is. We could say it's the 1800s because the Baal Shem died around, I think, 1762, I think, whatever. But anyway, so as time passed, Yordu Klal Yisrael Madrega Hadalid. The Jews have got, instead of waking up, we've gone further down to the fourth level, Shiyordu milmala makifim deklipa loilmazeh, that has ascended from above, klipas that are surrounding us in this world. Vehem notlim chelek chush hahergesh, and they're taking away that sense of feeling. Hagam, here's an important thing to say, hagam shiroim b'sifrei kodesh, even though the Jews are looking at holy books now. Vishomea divrei chasidus, and they're hearing words of chasidus, because you have chasidus been around for a while now, as this person is writing. Mikol makom ein lahem chius klal mize. They're not getting any life from it. So what's happening over here? Why are we not getting any life? V'hamechuvim b'zeh, what's the understanding here? Limala, what's going on above, rather, sheyipared chelek hara min hatov. We're at a time now where we have to separate the part of evil that's still attached to us from the good. Okay, in other words, this becomes a very, we're at the operation stage. When operation is painful, in our society, the problem with our society at this time, he's saying, is that we cannot distinguish between good and evil, even if it's clear. Even if it's clear, we cannot distinguish it. So, heim haneshamos hanidochim, these are the souls that have been lost, pushed away, v'navonim and lost, Begimol klipas atuma, in the three klipas of impurity. And the point is, shelo yakalkul acher, that they shouldn't spoil other people. Okay, we're living in a world where now we're losing Jews. And why are we losing Jews? That's the point. Why are things happening that, you know, people just not getting anything out of their Yiddishkeit? Why is that happening? Because Hashem is making the final separation. Just like you have a patient who's sick, you've got to cut out the sick part. So there's a sick part of Klal Yisrael. You see, when the light of the Ein Sof is starting to shine in 1740, listen, when it shines, it depends what you do with that power. There's an awesome power that's come in, an awesome awakening for the whole world. So the Baal Shem Tov says, okay, we're going to going to put it in the right place into Hasidus and things like that, but others who didn't embrace that, they let it go, that power, in, you know, developing the Industrial Revolution, which also meant Kvira, heresy, all that kind of stuff that goes together with that. So why is this happening? He's saying V'tove zu asalano, and this is a good thing Hashem has done for us. Shehem nifradim mikol inyonim. These secular people are separated from us in all aspects. Hein b'malbushim, regardless if it's in their clothing, v'hein b'hisnagus, or the way they conduct themselves, afilu b'dvarim shebektusha, even in aspects of holiness, kemosh b'beis knesses shvar dvarim, like in the shul or other spiritual things. In other words, they're making our shuls, or their shuls, look not like shuls. They're putting an organ inside of it. They take out the machitzas. Right? So you could see that they're totally separating from us. This was the reform movement he's talking about. Vafilo Vesak Forest, even in their cemeteries. Por Shimas Atzmam, they separate themselves. Liaslam Makom Miyuchad, they want to have a special place. But you cover Eitz al Nashim Sharam and Tamimim, they don't want to be buried next to the wholesome, good people. Veim sonim betachlis liish chosid v'yoshor, and they hate with the ultimate hatred a proper and good chosid. And now says this author, v'zos letovosenu, this is for our good. V'dalad lamed stands for v'dayla maven. It's enough of somebody who can understand these things. In other words, this is what's happening is, it's time to get rid of the bad baggage. Va'al kein, and therefore, zedoyma lechituch boser achai, it's like making an amputation, you're cutting off a piece of living flesh that's unhealthy, in order, shelo yekalkel boser habori, not to destroy the healthy flesh. Now, v'im hoya bizman hazeh gili elokus kamo bimeha Baal Shem Tov zal, if nowadays we would have a divine revelation like we had in the times of the Baal Shem Tov, or v'admor hazokein nishmaso eden, or like in the times of the Admor, he must be referring to the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya was earlier than that too, right? We wouldn't be able to separate this. Why? Because if you had such great luminaries, nobody could have the chutzpah to go against such bright light. Umamela, and consequently, Hoya Hara Nishar, the evil would remain Safun Balibam, would be hidden in the recesses of their hearts. Vahoyu Biyacholtam, then they'd have the ability Lakalkalacherim to damage others. Kemo Mem Dalid. Now, who's Mem Dalid? Look at footnote 29. You have to do a little research here. Kemo Moshe Disower. A fellow Moshe by the name from a place called Dessau. And where Dessau was a city in Germany. And look what it comes.
Moses Mendelssohn?
Yes. A Moscow Moshe Mendelssohn mi Dessau. So he wouldn't even write his name. Just Mem Dalet. Moshe Dessau. The Talmidov and his students. Right? So that's Yamach Shemo. Whoa, Hashem should obliterate his name. All right? What do we mean? He's saying like this. He's saying, what exactly happened? The Baal Shem Tov came to share a lot of bright light for us. So he came, and there were those who took to it. And that's how Chassidus came out. So you'd expect things to get better, but no, things have to get worse still, because we have to still go to the fourth level. Why? Because there are certain evil sorts that never really want to be part of the mainstream. There's certain Rishoyim, no matter what, they're not good for Klal Yisrael. And as we've got to cut them out before we can come to the ultimate Tikkun of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Baal Shem Tov was amazing, and then comes a little bit of a drop. You had the Baal Shem Tov, and it grew, a pinnacle. We'll say Reb Schneur Zalman, right? That's really early 1800s. Right, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So those were powerful. Vilna Gaon. I mean, you're talking about power. But then the power dropped in the mid 1800s. It kind of went down a little bit. You know, not knocking the Gedolim who were at that time, but it wasn't the same thing. It was not the same thing. So now, why is that? So to leave a little room, a vacancy, as it were, so that the ones who really want to be evil will feel comfortable expressing their evilness, because you don't have such powerful spiritual energies there. Because who would have the chutzpah to be Machal Shabbos if the Baal HaTanya was still around? And the Baal Shem Tov, if the Baal Shem Tov's around, you're just blown away by his kedusha. This was unbelievable. People just seeing them would make you do tshuva. So what would happen is, if you had such luminaries at that time of history, in the middle, late 1800s, oh, you have to see when Mendelssohn was. Didn't I put any date? Yes, Mendelssohn lived from 1729 to 1786. Okay? So, but these guys, they weren't afraid to express all their heretical views, because the Kedusha was already a little less, so to speak, or certainly their followers. And although Mendelssohn, you know, maintained he was religious, but all his kids schmotted out. So therefore, if the Kedusha isn't there, then the evil people are able to express themselves. If there's too much Kedusha and the evil people have to hide it, so they come off at least openly as religious Jews, but discreetly they could spew forth their heresy and it could influence people. That's the problem. As you see, shekama nefashos, many souls, hechdiu, they made them sin. Avur shechsikos amatzirayim, that they maintained that they were good people. You see? So what? In other words, we'll say, I don't want to, you know, like the reform, in the beginning of the reform wasn't so bad. The beginning of the reform, they just said, we're not going to say yikum perkon. What's so bad about that? Right? Everything else was fine. That was the first thing they did. But that already, at, you know, they wouldn't have the chutzpah to take out a mechitza right away. But so they look like they're card-carrying Jews. And they had philosophies. No, we have to be more integrated into German society, this and that. But, you know, so there's a lot of things that Jews say that sound reasonable, but there's really heresy through and through, but they're just not expressing it overtly. You have to go to university. I mean, you're talking about in those days. You have to remember, it's different than today. But still, so it looks like they're proper people. So therefore, Hashem didn't want that to be. So therefore, once the greats left, so now you don't have such great people. So now these wicked people aren't ashamed to publicly express their views. They're saying, achato, but now. She yatsu l'tarbis rabbi farhesya. Now their evil is public knowledge. And me she yilmod mehem v'dalohavin. There's nobody that's going to learn from them, and that's easy to understand. So that's why he's explaining that although the Baal Shem Tov came, yes, he revived an unconscious Klal Yisrael, but at the same time, so part of Klal Yisrael was revived. And then Hashem wanted that there would always be a part of Klal Yisrael that is just not interested in this. And therefore, what Hashem is doing, he's giving the ones that are really not good the opportunity to express their total feelings publicly so they can be totally understood that they won't affect others. And had you kept up such a strong spiritual base after the Baal HaTanya, and you'd have mamish giants in spirituality, then the reform would have been more under wraps. And it could have maybe seduced even more than what it did seduce. It seduced plenty, but it could have even seduced more. But when they got to the point, you know, it's like now with the open orthodoxy, right? People thought the open orthodoxy, so it's a little bit more modern, a little bit more broad-minded, you know, getting women more involved and everything involved. But now that, you know, boom, that now they're doing things that are flagrant violations of halacha. So then the Agudas Yisrael is able to say they're not part of mainstream Yiddishkeit anymore. And now we have to stay far away from these people. We will do nothing with those people. So that's the same idea. So this is for our benefit that it's interesting how he's looking at this, that even though there's a mitzvah to be makar of people, and there's no question about it, but obviously Hashem has to allow the people who do not want to be part of this revolution and do not want to be part of the future of Klal Yisrael to have a way of expressing it openly in a way that they will leave and that would be good riddance to them, and that's the amputation of the body. Very important, Yisodi saying over here. So although it's an unfortunate, you know, so the reform, the way we have to look from a Torah perspective of the reform, conservative, and open orthodoxy, it's they are the vehicles of the amputation of Klal Yisrael. We're going to call it self-amputation. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, as much as they said, oh, look, this is great, we're doing this, we're doing that, we have a new Judaism, but ultimately, as the Pew Report is saying, none of these people are going to be around. In another 20, 30 years, they ain't going to be Reformed Jews. They ain't going to be conservative Jews. They will have self-amputated themselves out. And that's what's happening. And now even the open orthodoxy are self-amputating. Those who are not interested are leaving. And therefore, there has to be this downturn a little bit of Kedusha to enable for the amputation to happen. That's one of the reasons why we needed this darkness. So in other words, and if you look about it, it's very similar to what happened with the story of the Jewish people in Egypt. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu comes, you know, he's a great light, but, you know, there has to be a darkness after that too. There was a period of darkness after Moshe Rabbeinu came, where Paro became worse and more difficult for the Jews to deal with. And, you know, and those who really wanted to drop out could drop out. And so the 80% who died in the Choshech, these were the ones that Hashem wanted to make sure that they would drop out. And that was the amputation of Klal Yisrael, right? So, they, you know, there was enough suffake that they could maybe, you know, think otherwise and make it clear that they're on the other side. And Hashem just amputated them out. And of course, that was not good when Moshe took the Erev Rav with him. That messed it up. And that's why Hashem was upset with him taking the Erev Rav. But that is what you could do. Anyway, now let's go to a second reason. Why we also have to have a darkness at this time? He says, so we don't feel the pain so much. Let's say a healthy person who serves Hashem. In other words, for us to be able to tolerate this great pain. Let's say, for example, a father has sons nowadays. Shiyotsu, they left. Uporshuas asman klal, they left from the group. You know, that's really a horrific thing. Can you imagine? Think about it really. If a kid mamish leaves Klal Yisrael, marries a shiksa. Like, this, that's really, you know how painful that is? So therefore, the fact that we are feeling a little bit of a spiritual darkness, so we're able to take the pain. Al kol zeh, eino mispala av kol kach. The father is not so excited, like so destroyed from that. Ki aruch shtus, sheyesh la'avos. The foolish spirit that parents have. Shenitzrach la'esek ha'parnosa. Lilmod ksav v'lilshoynes ha'amim. Parents had this foolish idea that in order to have parnosa, a person has to learn how to write German, let's say, to be fluent in the secular language, v'chochmas chitzonios, and external wisdoms, you know, and the fathers say, you know, we need to do this. Hamechasa al kol pshoim shel ben, and that covers up all the sinful behavior of the child. Umalamet zchus alav, and he judges the child favorably, v'al kol masam, and all his actions. V'al kein, and therefore, einenu margish hakeev mehachituch. He doesn't feel the pain of the surgery, of the amputation, v'gizur mishars nishus ben, and the cutting off of the source from the soul of his son. In other words, he's saying like this, and this you understand nowadays. This is all happening nowadays, my friend. You have parents who, let's say, you know, Jewish parents, and let's say, you know, religious, whatever. So now what happens is, but Hashem is making things not so clear to us. Remember, that's what he said a little bit earlier. He says your average rank and file Jew, even if he learns Hasidus, still it doesn't give them life. He's saying, you know, you have Jews who are going through the motions. When you are going through the motion Jew, the second aspect of what's happening here is that when your children do go off, and where Hashem is making the separation, those who really don't want to be part of Klal Yisrael, they will go off. So when they go off, it won't be so painful for the parents. Because the parents, since they're not so spiritually sensitive, they don't, so they say, listen, my kid gives me nachas. He's a doctor. You know, this is the way a person can justify the behaviors that are really sinful behaviors. Listen, you know what? He's a good boy. How do I know he's a good boy? He's a doctor. He's making money. He's helping mankind. He's a pride to the Jewish people. Because now they can all know there's a Jewish doctor who's saving their lives. This and that. So, like, you know, so what? So, how could a person say such stupid things? Your kid married a shiksa, for gosh sake. He has no more connection. He's cut himself off of Klal Yisrael. But since we don't have that inner feeling of that light of the Baal Shem Tov with us, so we are in that dull state, not just a dull state, we are now in surgery. So when you're in surgery, you don't feel the pain. So this is the darkness, the spiritual darkness, where we don't even feel how terrible it is that our kids are marrying out. That this is what you're seeing today. Like, years ago, like, they wouldn't want them to marry out. But if they did, okay, it's not, you know, I can live with it. And that's what he's saying is happening. Now, this every, you know, it's not everyone like that. There's some people who really feel terrible about it. But a lot of people who it's just covering it up. These are like the Dershowitzes of the world, where Dershowitz's kid married out, right? And he tried to, you know, justify all that and live with it. And eventually he a second marriage married out. So, in other words, to take the pain away, Hashem has rachmanis on us, that since he had to give the opportunity for the bad apples to be weeded out so we won't follow the bad apples, he also had to mitigate the pain that the parents would have by seeing that the kids are going out. And therefore, we're suffering from the spiritual malaise where we're mamish been given the medication to go through the surgery and not feel the pain, or else we just go out of our minds. Okay, that's what he's saying. Where did I go? V'zeh hoyu hechreichis. Three lines from the bottom. And this had to be milamala. It was a divine decree from above. Sheyifridu haneshamos ha'elu me'aklal me'chelak hatov. That these souls have to be separated from the group, from the good group. V'al korcha, and therefore it had to be ha'hester, this darkness, this concealment. V'hachoshech, and this darkness also pe'ula tova la'avas ha'yishar v'tamimim. It's good for these parents who are good. Shelo yargishu kol kach, they won't feel so much the pain. U'betam ha'beis, and with the second reason I'm giving you now, hudoma la'mashal mamish. This is mamish like the mashal. In the fourth level of sleep, where you've been anesthetized, you mamish don't feel anything. And that's what's happening. These were like, I guess in his days, you know, they were from people. The kids went off, but they at least, you know, they didn't, they rationalized it, and they didn't feel the pain. Okay. Ach, al kol zeh, but still in all, with all that darkness. What is he paraphrases the pasuk in Parshas Bo. Al kol zeh libnei Yisrael hoya or b'moshvosam b'choshech. The Jews still had light in the choshech. Turning the page, next page, shel Mitzrayim. There was light in Mitzrayim. V'kach, so it's the same thing. Mamish, you had Jews who was dying. The 80% of the Jews died in the choshech. And yet, for the 20%, there was light. And we explained last week in the Parsha class, it wasn't just an absence of darkness. It was the light from the first, the second mamar of Vayihi Or, where that was became clear to them. So you see it repeats itself. V'chein ata, so now, gam kein also, l'mishi yeshlo or ha-chasidus, someone who has the light of chasidus, ein ha-choshech hazeh master klal. This darkness doesn't make it dark for him. Kol elu advarim shumanu me'admor nishmaso edenu. All these words that I'm telling you, we heard from the Alter Rebbe, as it were. So it's incredible. And this is what's happening now. This is mamish happening now. If you're having the light of chasidus, you're seeing the light. If you don't have the chasidus, you don't have the light. We're talking about all the problems now that Yiddishkeit from Yidden. We're finding in our circles, Orthodox Jews, they're suffering from a lot of these things because they're not taking the light of Hasidus. And what the greater risk now isn't, you know, there's going to be a shift. It's happening. The shift is no longer Kiruv Rechokim because that window is almost completely closed. You can forget about it. The shift now has to be to Kiruv Krovim because a lot of the kids are going off the derech. And you know, forget about fighting the Reform and Conservative. They've already been amputated. But now it's our own kids. So, you know, if we don't have any chasidus, you know, they're going to totally fall apart. So those who have chasidus, generally speaking, I'm not saying everyone, you have chasidim who go off the derech too. But chasidim who really have chasidus, so they have light. They see the light, mamish, in this great darkness that is existing over here. Okay, I think that's enough for today.